Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Beatrice, operator. Welcome and thank you for joining Intersemi's second quarter of 2020 earnings conference call. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. The presentation will be followed by a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question, you may press star followed by one on your touch-tone telephone. Please press the star key followed by zero for operator assistance. The presentation will be available online. The webcast link has been provided to you in your registration email. I would now like to turn the conference over to Paulo Diniz, CFO, and Gabriel Mota, Head of Treasury and Investor Relations at Intersemi. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Gabriel Mota, Corporate Treasurer and Head of Investor Relations for Intersemi. Happy to say that here with me today is Paulo Diniz, CFO of Intersemi. Please note that based on our positive feedback with regards to our last earnings call, we will run a fire chat with Paulo. Also, needless to say that due to the current atypical times, we are working from home, and this implies on some infrastructure challenges that I'm sure you all understand, but we'll be able to overcome. Before I start, please note that this call, we will hear discussions on non-IFRS financial measures, including EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA, and margins. Reconciliations of these non-IFRS measures to the most directly comparable IFRS financial measures is contained in the accompanying material that supports this call or the annual release, the report released yesterday, which is available on the investor section of our website, as well as on the SGX, the Singapore Stock Exchange website. During this call, we will make forward-looking statements about events and circumstances that have not yet occurred, including outlook and projections of Intersemi operating activities and their anticipated financial impact on our business and financial results for 2020 and beyond. These statements are based on management's current expectations, and actual results and future events may differ materially due to risk and uncertainties, including those detailed from time to time in filings Intersemi makes with the SGX commission. Intersemi disclaims any obligation to update information contained in this forward-looking statement, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. Please refer to the Intersemi 2Q financials report for basic discussions on the relevant risks and uncertainties, and all public information is available on our website. Well, let's get started. Paulo, can you please give us a general background color on the operational performance for this quarter?
Good morning to you all, and thank you, Gabriel, for kicking off and setting the stage. Before anything, it is great to be here on this second quarter fireside chat. Well, needless to say that towards the end of the first quarter, the geographies of our business portfolio faced the COVID pandemic restrictions. In each single geography, we had different challenges with different levels of restrictions. Therefore, it helps to provide a quick overview of the local performances to better understand the consolidated progress of Intersemi. So, starting with our operating company in Brazil, our biggest operation in terms of capital employed, after a good start with positive macroeconomic news, the year switched back on the cement demand growth in April due to COVID outbreak. Although May and June demand more than offset the compression in April. Therefore, the volume in the second quarter ended up increased by 9% compared to the same quarter of last year, with volumes rising at double-digit rates since June. In other words, after the general recommendation to stay home due to the pandemic and the lowest interest rate ever by the government in its monetary policy, the people changed their share of wallet spending towards home improvement. Given that, in Brazil, roughly 2/3 of the cement is sold on bags. Self-construction was the way to get some extra home comfort. By the way, with this extremely low interest rate for Brazilian standards, people also got bolder on migrating its portfolio financial instruments to invest in the real economy, if you like. And this has been a boost for the real estate market. Naturally, that the popular housing market was also classified as essential for the economy during the COVID pandemic by the government, avoiding the full lockdown, besides having the COVID voucher contributing to the recent cement growth. Argentina had its economic crisis magnified by an unprecedented full lockdown that negatively impacted our business. During the quarter, some restrictions were softened and lifted, although the cement consumption in Argentina dropped by 32% in the quarter. Starting in May, Luma Negra saw a strong recovery in the bag demand across the country, with June posting rising year-over-year figures. On the other hand, bulk cement continued depressed by the absence of infrastructure projects and private works. All in all, volumes dropped by 25% in Luma Negra, excluding Iguazu in Paraguay, as this operation was divested in August as a subsequent event that we can talk later. Moving to our African countries, Egypt showed a significant GDP growth of over 5% in the last 2 years, backed by the tourism industry and the natural gas exploration. However, with the coronavirus, the country saw a collapse in the tourism and a drop in the gas price, and the expected GDP growth was reduced to 2% for the year. Despite such growth, the cement industry continues to retract and be in a distressed environment, thanks to the state cement player, which continues to flood the market with excess volume of low-price cement. Mozambique had its positive mood coming from the upcoming natural gas project, affected by the COVID outbreak. Infrastructure projects were postponed due to the rising uncertainties on the global demand after the pandemic. Thus, our company Mozambique posted declined cement volumes, down 6% in the quarter compared to the same period of last year, mostly harmed during April and May, while since June volumes have been reacting positively. Finally, South Africa entered in the full lockdown mode from the end of March to end of April, with industry posting sales close to zero during this period. In May, cement plants were authorized to resume 50% of its capacity to sell for the retail market, and our company registered a 35% drop in volumes sold in the month. In June, cement market returned to the normal production levels, and we posted a strong sales figure, in spite of the bulk market is still at a slow pace.
Truly a challenge environment, Paulo, that we are all engaged to overcome. Can you also talk a bit about our top-line performance in 2Q20?
Sure. Let's take a look at our top-line. Intercement's top-line of $263 million in the second quarter meant a drop of 33% in comparison to the same period of the previous year. Yes, a huge drop. It was the result of a 10% contraction on cement and clinker volume sold, which totaled 4.3 million tons in the quarter, and of an average price 16% lower than the one in the second quarter of 2019 at $55 per ton, highly affected by the devaluation of local currencies in the main countries where we operate. In Brazil, responsible for 50% of Intercement's volume, average price was up by 9% in local currency compared to the second quarter of 2019, backed by a revitalized go-to-market approach that improved product mix, distribution channels, regional distribution, and some price recovery as well. However, due to Brazilian real depreciation in the period, prices in U.S. dollars were down 21% in the quarter. In Argentina, our controlled company, Luma Negra, kept its market leadership, helping us to preserve a healthy price level, also benefit by the FX system there that is managed by the Argentinian government, leading to a price of $84 per ton, although 7% lower than in the second quarter of previous year. On our operations in Africa accounted for 25% of our volume, and while our operation in Egypt went through a falling price due to its tough context, excess capacity and arena, prices in Mozambique and South Africa were slightly up in local currencies in the quarter. However, in hard currency, the three operations posted declined prices, mostly due to the local currency depreciation in the period. In summary, the double C, COVID with volume, and currency with devaluation, gave a big bite, really a big bite on our top line performance in the second quarter.
Well, thank you, Paulo. And what about the operating performance? When we blend all the information that you brought, what can we say about as a consequence in the resulting EBITDA for the second quarter?
Well, top line reached only $263 million, as we mentioned before. However, total cash costs, including variable, fixed, and SG&A, amounted to $216 million, a 34% drop in comparison to the same quarter of 2019. Therefore, our EBITDA margin raised 1.2 percent points to 21.6% in the quarter. And I must say that it was really great to see EBITDA margins above 20%. Operational cash costs were helped by currency valuation, yes. However, it's important to emphasize the huge internal efforts that some cost elements are directly such as energy, fuel, freight, and maintenance, refractory materials, and in some countries, bags. Brazil was the largest contributor as its operational turnaround is progressing, although to be noted is the 19% drop in SG&A expenses of $34 million in the second quarter. In the second quarter of 2020, FX effect was magnified by the ongoing efficiency gains and strong financial discipline. Therefore, adjusted EBITDA, that is, EBITDA excluding non-recurring expenses, dropped to $57 million in the quarter, a 30% decline when compared to the same period of previous year, mainly affected by the revenue compression as consequence of lower volume from coronavirus outbreak and prices from currency depreciation, as mentioned before. Important to note that despite the adjusted EBITDA decline, margins were up and the quality of the results better. To better illustrate this, adjusted EBITDA in Brazil expanded by 54% in the quarter and margins reached 22%. A 10 percentage points year-over-year increase. Also worth mentioning that in the quarter, the month of June posted solid improvement over April and May in all our operations. In other words, a good way to start the second half.
Well, Paulo, thank you for these highlights and all the company efforts to translate this challenging scenario into an EBITDA margin expansion. On the below the line of EBITDA, is there anything relevant you want to emphasize?
Well, fluctuation in operational assets and liabilities, mainly comprising working capital variation, presented a cash liberation of $67 million. So, $88 million swing from the $21 million cash absorbed in the second quarter of last year. Such improvement was mostly consequence of a great discipline on cash disbursement within the COVID context, leading to inventory optimization besides improvement on payables and suppliers, especially in Argentina and Brazil. CapEx of $30 million in the quarter was down by $57 million in comparison to last year, reflecting the efforts to run a CapEx-light operation during the pandemic, and also the final stages of our key project in Argentina, Lamalí. While we're talking about Lamalí, it's worth highlighting that we should have another $40 million in CapEx until commissioning the new plant, expected to happen the first half of next year. Asset sales were not relevant in the quarter. However, subsequent events after the second quarter closing, we should mention two recent transactions concluded by the company. In the first one, Intersement Brazil sold $25 million tax credit to a private investor, while in the second one, Luma Negra sold Iguazu, its operations in Paraguay. In the quarter, we had debt amortizations of $1 billion and $988 million in borrowings, basically reflecting the debenture refinancing with local banks, which allowed the company to extend its debt maturity to 2023 up to 2027, although banks do have a call in May of 2024. Another relevant benefit out of this refinancing was a better currency match, as this refinancing was fully done in reais. I'm sure, Gabriel, that you can provide some more color on this afterwards. Interest paid totaled $32 million in the quarter, relatively stable in comparison to the second quarter of last year. Taking all that in consideration, we ended the second quarter holding a cash position of $203 million. And talking about debt and cash, I guess this is a very good moment to pause and pass the ball to you, Gabriel, so that you can bring extra light to our debt.
Certainly, Paulo. Well, our net debt decreased by $15 million, reaching $1.5 billion, $1.5 billion actually, by the end of the second Q 2020. I always like to remember that back in December 13, we had a total debt of over $4 billion. To reach this significant decrease, we had to come up with several initiatives, which were executed along the last 5 years. Back in 2016, we designed a broad roadmap for the liability management plan. Just to refresh, we floated at NICE, our controlled company in Argentina, Loma Negra, in a $1.1 billion transaction IPO. Also, we divested our operations in Portugal and Cape Verde for 700 million euros. We issued 830 million reais on preferred shares at our hydroelectric plants in Brazil. Most recently, we concluded a $1 billion debt refinance with our three main banks, issuing debentures in reais at an interest rate of CDI plus 375. This transaction enabled us to change dramatically our debt currency profile. Now we carry 51% of our debt in Brazilian reais. And remember, 50% of the volume sold by Intercement this year shall be in reais, in Brazil, actually. Additionally, we almost eliminated our debt in euros, as after the divestment of our operations in Portugal, we do not have revenue generated in euros anymore. Moreover, last month, back in August, we were able to conclude a milestone transaction, issuing debt in Mozambique in local currency to pay intercompany payables so that we can refinance some maturing debt. This was a small but very significant transaction to the local market, especially considering that it was out of the oil and gas sector, the main sector of the country, and really reflected the local support that some international banks can give to Intercement. The other currencies accounts for around 10% of our debt profile, creating a natural hedge on our local business units. In terms of maturity profile, we have around $84 million maturing this year, out of which 47% are overdraft loans. Another $200 million matures in 2021, another $54 in 22. And another 148 in 2023. And finally, 726 million dollars in 2024. It's important to remember that to reach the presented amortization after 24, Intercement needs to refinance its bonds outstanding.
Thanks, Gabriel. I guess this is an excellent example of lots of work done to reduce indebtedness. And still, a lot of work to be done. But again, who said that life is fair?
Yes, indeed, Paulo. Well, after this great discussion on the second quarter, why don't you share your views on the rest of the year?
Yes. But just give me a second so I can reach for my crystal ball. Starting with Brazil, our core market, let me say that we are cautiously optimistic. We have to say that a very interesting byproduct of this pandemic was the additional value that the population is putting on home-related matters. If you take this move and add the lowest interest rate ever by a Brazilian government, and also the potential of jobs creation offered by the construction industry, such as the popular housing program Casa Verde Amarela by the government, we do have some key elements to be optimistic. Therefore, even with the COVID huge pain, we believe the Brazilian operation could post a 4 to 5% volume above 8.4 million tons. That was what we saw last year. Moreover, price-wise, this should be the first year in the last, 5 years, where price price recovery should be slightly above inflation, although the country will continue to have one of the lowest average prices, together with Egypt, within our portfolio. Anyhow, the trend is favorable, and EBITDA of Intercement in Brazil should be far better than last year. Argentina is a big question mark. The operation is running well. EBITDA margin is higher than what we saw in the first half of last year, and management is doing an outstanding job. In fact, they were able to overcome all the challenges that pop up so far. Despite all that, miracles are a bit more difficult to be materialized. The country is the one holding the longest lockdown, on the top of a serious economic crisis. Volume sold in the first half of the year was almost 27% lower than the ones sold in the first half of last year. Volume in the second half should be better, although the cement market estimates an annual volume far below the volume of last year. Moreover, we cannot forget that the devaluation ghost is walking around with this huge difference between the official exchange rate and the parallel market. In terms of Africa, Mozambique is the country that should present some stability in terms of sales volume. Basically, the center region of the country shall continue to make up for the gap in the north region generated by the postponement of the natural gas projects. However, EBITDA should come weaker, impacted by the local currency depreciation and higher usage of imported clinker besides the electricity price. South Africa should post a sales volume far below last year due to the pandemic. In fact, with the full lockdown the first half, volumes were 25% lower than in the same period of last year. No doubt that sales are recovering in the second half, but the bulk market continues to be dormant. Therefore, the operation will not be able to compensate the gap created in the first half. Finally, Egypt. There, it seems that the country is suffering more from the current imbalanced structure in the cement market than the pandemic itself. In fact, the cement state company continues to pump up volumes and pump down prices. On the top of that, government has imposed restriction on construction permits. Therefore, no one can blame coronavirus for the 23% volume drop in the first half. And by inertia, this contraction can be expected to continue towards the second half. All in all, in terms of year 2020, we expect InterCement to have a second half totally different from the first one, which was highly affected by COVID pandemic, as we discussed. The second half could show a vigorous recovery despite the current depreciation of local currency against the dollar. Anyhow, as I mentioned before, we are making all what is possible and also the impossible. However, miracles take a bit longer. Therefore, even with this expect much better second half, our annual top line in EBITDA shall end up below last year. At the same time, we may be pleased by better margins, indicate better performance, and also by the overall business trend. Hope this is helpful.
Yes, certainly, yes. Considering the way that the year is going, we will meet the financial leverage covenant by December 2020 on the old debentures held by the market.
It's important to say that the newly issued debentures do not have the net debt to EBITDA covenant measured for this December, but only for December of next year. As for this year, it was replaced by a debt limitation of 1.8 billion euros, so $2.2 billion. However, we still have a bit room over, we have a bit over 100 million reais, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, around $20 million of the second issuance of debentures in the market, the so-called old debentures. Therefore, we should be requesting a waiver to these minority debenture holders, similar to what we have done in previous years, and ask for an adjustment similar to what we have in the newly issued debentures with the local banks.
Okay, and this waiver request for the old debentures you plan to ask, are you considering to offer some assets as guarantee, as these old debentures are unsecured?
Well, let me say first that our 2024 bonds carries a limitation on liens of 12.5% of our total assets. We have already filled this door with the controlling shares of Luma Negra that we pledged to the newly issued debentures to the local banks. Therefore, we will not be able to provide any asset as collateral as we would default on our bond indenture. By the way, this is the reason why local banks agreed to accept a guarantee much lower value than the other debentures.
Well, you were talking, and I had Brazil on the back of my mind. Sorry to insist on this, but historically, Brazil has been the core market for Intercement. Now that prices are starting to recover, there's a strong move by opinion holders, even a sort of public campaign, stating that the cement producers are mercenaries, willing to be more than greed in the moment where public health and home care is the number one priority. Do you see any measure being taken by the government to refrain cement producers from increasing prices?
Well, Gabriel, I guess the industry is suffering from what I call a distorted cartel allegation coming from decades ago, which never occurred in reality. My view is that the cement industry in Brazil has just started to recover price to compensate for cost increases of around 55% we faced in the last 5 years, with energy, fuel, freight, and bags. Nowadays, we are talking about an average price of slightly over $40 per ton. So where in the world this could be considered an expensive price for cement? Nowhere. One has to be nuts to talk about the cement cartel in Brazil. We have an extremely competitive market with more than 24 players producing a commodity product. Great majority of these players posted huge losses in the last 5 years. But no media likes to talk about that. In fact, some players could not continue to go on by their own legs. We saw foreign players, strategic and financial, acquiring cement companies in Brazil, such as Apodi, Ciplan, Brenan, and recently Elizabeth. At the same time, CRH, one of the major European building materials company, is considering leaving the country due to the low attractiveness of the Brazilian cement market. In summary, the cement industry is extremely mature in Brazil and would not risk its public image for anything, not even for a couple of more cents in the average price per ton.
Yeah, great point, Solo. Let me go for another relevant topic, the divestment of the Paraguayan operation, Iguazu. Can you comment on the rationale for the sale of the company? This was our best operating margin in our portfolio.
Yes. As Iguazu sale was made by Luma Negra, a listed company on Merval Argentina Stock Exchange, which was already this subject. Anyway, let me just refresh some important points on this divestment. First, I mean, the transaction monetized a business unit that started as a greenfield project and ended up transformed into a great asset with outstanding profitability. And therefore, we really saw that profitability was at a peak. Second, the cement market in Paraguay is around 1.3 million tons a year. And the former president of the country is building a new plant, SECOM, with a capacity of 1 million tons. Therefore, despite the potential outlook of a steady growing demand for the country, the market is relatively small for the production capacity foreseen in 2022. Also, imports that represented around 8% of the market has grown to represent almost 30%, actually due to the retraction of INC, the state cement producer. Great part of these imports is a kind of pre-marketing for the new player. And sooner or later, INC, the state player, has to recover its production level. Another point that although Iguazu cement capacity was around 800,000 tons per year, the capacity could not produce, the company could not produce more than 508,000 tons, as it was limited by its clinker capacity. Unfortunately, for many years, the company tried to get government authorization to import clinker, but that was continuously denied. On the other hand, INC, the state cement company, always had authorization to import clinker. So after pondering on several factors, present and main future, it was decided to accept an offer that was very beneficial to Luma Negra, therefore to InterCement. Although the value of the transaction is confidential, as agreed between buyer and seller, we can say that all in all, due to the current moment, it reached double digits in terms of EBITDA multiple. Proceeds will be mainly used to reduce indebtedness of Luma Negra.
Well, I see strong strategic reasons. As we are talking about this recent divestment in Paraguay, does InterCement consider to sell any of its assets in Africa?
Well, it has to be clear that our main goal is not only to defend the assets of our shareholders, but to create some real value. At the same time, our consolidated debt at the end of June was slightly under $1.8 billion, as you said, contributing heavily to the imbalance of our capital structure. Twice in the recent past, first with the Portuguese operations and now with the Paraguayan operations, we took the opportunity to sell assets that third party believed that could extract much more value than ourselves. That means that we have no taboos, that we are open for business, and in case we are provoked with a unique opportunity, I have no doubt that we shareholders will take a serious look. At the same time, we have a clear path to sell this or that operation in this or that country? The answer is clear, no.
Well, let's change gears and move to another important event, the recent exchange that we launched, but let it expire. Can you give us some more color on this matter?
Certainly, as this puzzle has many pieces. Coming back to last April, as the $1 billion refinancing with the local banks were taking longer than expected to be signed, we decided to postpone for 90 days at the debenture amortization that was due, as great part of that debentures would be included in the refinance pack with the local banks. As we did that, a local debenture holder, different than other debenture investors, he started to make huge noise in the marketplace. To make a long story short, one of the rating agencies decided to downgrade us to the C category, meaning a default category, or as the market call it, in default with little prospect for recovery. I like that. As you know, this is a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. And as the market became very nervous, one of our international banks decided to call back their credit line. We were not expecting that, especially in the middle of a pandemic. Moreover, we were concerned that other creditors could do the same. Therefore, we had to come down the market. After analyzing the situation, talking to some financial people, including some of our bondholders and international bankers, we were recommended to launch an exchange offer for our 24 bonds into new 27 bonds, with peak feature to contribute to any potential liquidity headache or stomachache that the company could face down the road. We really rushed with the process, And soon after we signed the bank refinancing, we launched the exchange offer. Despite all this rush, it should be noted that this bond step was in one of the four pillars of our liability management program launched in late 2016, beginning of 2017. In fact, the only one still pending, as all the other three were successfully executed. I guess we miscalculated one of the features of the new bond, which included a haircut. Our view was that all the other bond features could have been worked out successfully with our bondholders. However, our board had some issues in relaunching the exchange offer without the haircut and including plants in Brazil as collateral. Therefore, the decision at that moment was to let the exchange offer to expire so that the transaction could be revisited in the near future, as it would be extremely beneficial to the company because the local bank's debentures would be automatically extended to. The good side of all that is that we came much closer to our key investors. We are fully convinced that not only we, but also the bondholders want the company to succeed. Therefore, having this principle in mind, I am sure that together we will be able to build up a win-win solution. Well, in summary, my guess is that it will be a matter of time that we will take this matter.
So as a last question, looking at successful floating of Loma Negra, the largest IPO cement company ever, how the Brazilian market is evolving, and the number of construction companies and real estate developers filing for IPO, do you have any plans to raise capital in Brazil, or in other words, an IPO of the Brazilian company is an alternative? I'm sorry.
Okay, well, let's dream. Well, needless to say that the Brazilian market has great potential. In the recent past, I mean, if you go back to 2013 or 14, the Brazilian operation itself generated over $400 million a year of EBITDA. Perhaps we can see some sort of recovery with a growing local demand. However, our reality is one of a bit over $20 per ton, and the unitary EBITDA well below $10 per ton. Therefore, although it's a bit early to talk about that, it is an alternative that we have to analyze and have it in our playbook as a way to strengthen our balance sheet. I think it is fair that one day InterCement should be able to capitalize on the strengths of its vice leadership position in one of the largest cement markets in the world. But as I mentioned before, who said that life is fair?
Well, thank you, Paulo. I guess we're having a great opportunity here to discuss with investors, and I would like to thank you and open for Q&A questions, Q&A section.
Thank you. We'll start the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. Please wait while we gather the question. This concludes the question and answer session. I'd like to turn the conference over to Paulo Diniz for closing statement.
Gabriel and all of you, needless to say that I enjoyed our second quarter fireside chat. So let me thank you, Gabriel, and everyone on this call for joining us today. We are fully convinced that InterCement has all the strengths to overcome current challenges and, with the support of our investors, to exceed in South America and Africa regions as we continue stretching ourselves to be a reference in the cement industry. Once again, thank you all and have a great day. Stay safe and healthy. Bye.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for your participation. conference is now concluded and you may disconnect your telephone. Thank you for joining and have a pleasant day. Goodbye.